Okay, we're starting here on the two dots on the top of Mem Gimel Med Aleph. Gemara here is commenting on what the Mishnah says, Aval Zav Bakeri Einan Mitamim Bibifnim Kibachutz, meaning that a Zav and a Belkeri are only Tmeim once it exits the body. How do we know this? So the Gemara brings for each one of them a pasuk, Zav Dichtiv, Ke Zav Mibsaro, Ad Shietze Zovo Mibsaro, till it exits the Basar. So, mibisaro, from his flesh, meaning it must exit the flesh before it's classified as zov. Balkeri, by balkeri dichtei v'ish, ki teitzei mimenu shichvat zera. So again, here you're using teitzei until it exits from him. So in each of these cases, until the shichvat zera or the zov exit the body, they will not be tmeim. Now the next line of the Mishnah is ayo chel b'truma v'irgish. So he was eating truma, and then he had a sensation that he was about to have a seminal emission. He should be ochez, he should grab a hold of his ama, not allow the shechvat zera to exit, and swallow the truma, thereby preventing himself from becoming tamei while he's eating the truma, and only allowing the shechvat zera to exit afterwards. When it says ochez, how could he grab a hold of his ama? Vatanya, don't we have a bright, Rabbi Elazar omer, kol ochez ba'ama umashtin. Anybody who holds their aver and urinates, it's as if he's bringing a mabul to the world. Rashi comments, because it can cause a seminal emission. This was the chait of Dora Mabul. We know Chazal Dashran, Hishchid Kol Basar, that Hashchata manifests itself in three Averot, that is Shvichut Damim, Gilui Arayot, and Avodah Zarah. Here, Rashi says that the Gemara is calling the Gilui Arayot this problem of Mutzi Shechvat Zera Levatala. Amar Abaye, Vemat Lidava, he has to do it with a thick cloth, whereby he will not have the sensation of touch. Rav Amar, Afilu Tamei Vemat Lid Raka, even with a thin cloth, it's fine. So the answer why, this is what you were saying, Shulkev and Dakar, Akar, what's there to worry about anymore? Meaning that you're already talking about someone who already had a seminal emission, it's just being withheld from exiting the body. So now what are you worried about him touching his aver for? It's done. What's done is done. So Vayamar Chayish, and we saw this earlier again in the Masechta, that Vayamar Chayish Duma Atele Usufe. Vayamar says, no, maybe it'll cause more of a seminal emission. Re'avol Usufe Lo Chayish, we don't worry about the addition of more shechvat zera here. Just saying that you have to use something, some sort of intermediary to hold it, because that would be a better situation. Your question is, what happens if there's nothing there? That's a fair question. The Gemara is not assuming that now, but if there's no other choice, maybe you would say that you should. Tanya, l'mazed domeh, noten etzba b'ayin. Similar to putting your finger in your eye. She calls my chance babai middamat. As long as the finger's in the eye is irritated by that, bechozeret middamat, and it keeps tearing. Until you remove the finger, there's a problem that the eye senses, and because of that, it tears. And until you remove the finger, there's no solution to that problem. So Rabbi says that brighta supports what I'm saying, which is, as long as you're in contact with the aver, it causes more and more of a problem, or the possibility of more of a semen omission. Rava says, if one reaches that point of a seminal emission, to have a repeat of that in a short period of time is very unlikely. And therefore, since it's very unlikely, we give preference to, as you're saying, shall protect against the tuma of the truma, than rather looking for a matlit ava and not allowing him to touch the aver at all. So Amar Shmuel, Kol shichvat zera she'en kol gufo margishba ena mitam'a. So we actually have three different memrot of Shmuel, different lishnot of Shmuel as to what the statement is about shichvat zera. Here's the first attempt at it, which is kol shichvat zera she'en kol gufo margishba, anything that his entire body doesn't feel in terms of the emission, ena mitam'a, that is not mitamei, mitamei taima, shichvat zera marachmana biru'uya lazriya. That it's a case where it has to be fit to inseminate. And if it's not fit to inseminate, then it's not classified as shechvat zera. If it's not classified as shechvat zera, then it's not mitamei. Now that has to be, what's the definition of Shechlet Zera according to Shmuel now? Is that's Beruya Lazria. That has to be the possibility of insemination. And Shmuel is saying here that that is determined by Margishba, a sensation of having some sort of emission. Meitavid. Person was having hirhurim, some thoughts in the night that cause him to be erect. And he finds himself erect. Tamei. We automatically assume that he is Tamei. Over here it's clear that he was sleeping. So the issue of hargasha, his sensation, is not involved here because he was sleeping. So if that's the case, it's negative the statement of Shmuel. It says without hargasha, it's not classified as shechvat zera. So targum ravuna b'mishamesh mitato b'chalomo. Because the dream or the hirurim that he was having was one of cohabitation. Diav shadashamesh below hargasha. So then he would have had that sensation, whether it's in the dream or whether it's coming from his body. He does have that sensation, and that's why we're saying the shechvat zera is tamei. Now lishna achrina, here's another alternative to Shmuel's statement. Amar Shmuel kol shechvat zera she'enu yurek kechetz, enu mitama. Any shechvat zera does not exit the body like an arc or an arrow is not mitama. Again, for the same reason, it only can be shechvat zera if it can inseminate. So it has to be shot out of the body because that's the only way that it can impregnate a woman. So it only be classified as shechvat zera if that's what transpires. Ma'ika ben hai lishno, the hai lishno. What's the difference between the first lashon and Shmuel and the second lashon and Shmuel? Iko benayu ne'ekrav hargasha. It's a case where he has a sensation in some way in the body that he had a seminal mission, but it leaves the body without any sensation, I assume meaning that it doesn't arc out, it does not shoot out. So it comes out in drips and drabs, even though there was argush in the body. So therefore, according to the first Lashon, you've qualified to be Shechvat Zera because it was Nekra Bahargasha. According to the second Lashon, it does not qualify Shechvat Zera because it did not leave the body in the form of being shot out. So Milto de Pshita le Shmuel mi Baile de Rovo. Something that is taken for granted by Shmuel was posed as a question by Rovo, the Bai Rovo. Nekrab argasha v'yatztashalob argasha. Exactly this. Nafkamina mahu. What's the din? So you see Rovo posing a question that, according to whichever Lashon of Shmuel you pick, would have an obvious answer. Rava's querying as to what the answer to that is. Tashma, the Gemara, attempts to bring an answer to that. Balkari shetaval v'lo hitil mayim. Balkari that goes into the mikveh to be mitayer himself from a simul mission, but he has yet to urinate since he's had the simul mission, then shetol mayim tamei. As soon as he urinates again, he's tamei over again, because the assumption is that the urination clears out the remainder of the shechvat zera that's there, and by doing so, he now has another emission of shechvat zera. There is no shi'ur to shechvat zera, and so now he's going to be tamei again. So Mara says, "No, shiny autumn, the ruba be'argosha nafak. The majority left already. This is just the residual. The row left in a qualifying manner. So whatever minute amount that's left behind, even though that doesn't leave with argosha, that's not impacted necessarily by the necessity for argosha. So we can't prove anything from this Mishnah. Lishna achrina. Here's a third version of what Shmuel said. Amri lo, Amar Shmuel kol shechvat zera, she'eno yurek echeitz, eno mazrat. That, similar to what we saw in the previous one, that any shechvat zera that's not yurek echeitz is eno mazrat. As opposed to the previous statement, which was eno mitama, over here it says eno mazrat. Now before we correlated the two together, which is that if it is mazrat, if it has the ability to impregnate, to inseminate, then it is tmeha. So over here, we have a distinction in the Lashon. So the Gemara is mitayik from that, as ruei hu delo mizrat, hat muye mitama. That even though it's not mazrat, when it's not yurek hachetz, nevertheless it is mitama. So here you have a distinction, three different Lashonot in Shmuel. The first Lashon saying, it's all about hargashat aguf. The second one saying about, all about the exit from the body, that's v'yurek echeitz. And the third one that says that to be mazriya, it has to be yurek echeitz. To be tamei, it does not have to be yurek echeitz. So Tosafot asks Shaul's question, what's the difference between the first Lashon and the third Lashon? If both of them say you don't need yurek echeitz, then what is the difference? So Tosafot says, Perush rafilu nekrab lo hargosha. That this case is a case even without hargosha, so it requires neither. The last Lashon says you don't require a gosha and you don't require a yitziyah or kechetz. And it's still mitama. That's the third Lashon, to make it distinct from the first Lashon, otherwise it would be the same as the first Lashon. So you have three Lashonot, and the first Lashon, it has to be Argoshet Aguf, second Lashon is Yirei Kechetz, the third Lashon, it's Tamei, no matter what, as long as it exits the body. Shneamar, because it says, Kiyeh Becha Ish Asher Lo Yeh Tohor Mikre Lailo. So this is in Parshat Devarim talking about the Machaneh and the Kedushat HaMachaneh. If you have a person, an individual that is not Tohor, why? Because he had a Mikre Laila. Afilu Keri Ba'olam. So over there, there's no qualification of how he had the carry or the emission. It's whatever emission that takes place. It's irrespective of how it came about, Yerakechei, Targosha, anything. And because of that, he is Tameh and he has to leave the Machaneh. So we see over there that there is no qualification, and that is based on the third Lashon of Shmuel. By Rova, Ovei Kochavim Shehir Her, V'yarad V'taval Mahu. So an Ovei Kochavim, who is being Mitgayer. So he had Hir Hurim, and the Shifat Zer is Ne'akar, meaning that he knows he was already going to have a similar mission, it just has not left his body. Goes to the Mikveh, and is Nitgayer, and then only then does the emission exit the body. So what's the din over here? Im timtzalomar batara kiraz linan. If we go after when it's already obvious that he's going to have a seminal emission, hani milay the chumra. Maybe that's only true when we say the chumra, like Shmuel's din. Aba ocha de the kula. Over here it'll turn out to be a kula, because if it is that we're going after the ne'akar, he was not a Jew at the time that it was ne'akar, and therefore will not produce any tuma for him. Oh, Dilma Loshna. Or maybe it makes no difference. Maybe we go to Kula and the Chumra. Ne'kar is the decisive point in time where Tuma is determined. And therefore, since it was Ne'kar before he was Mitgayer, it's not Tameh. The other side is that we only say the Chumra. That is when we say Ne'kar no Yatsa, that he's Tameh by a Jew. But by the Goy, we'll say that since the emission happened afterwards, he's still Tameh, because we only say it the Chumra. By Rabba, Rabba poses another question, similar in nature, which is a Zava, Shenekru Memei Ragla'avi, or David Tavla Mau. So a Zava, she has urine that's already ready to leave the body, that's gathered and begun to leave the body. Then she goes down to the mikveh, and then comes out of the mikveh, and then only then urinates. Mau, what's the din? Zava, her liquids have a din of an Avatuma. So Memei Ragla is a Mayan, because it's Mitagel, it gathers before it leaves, and then it exits the body. So it qualifies for being an Abba Tuma if it exits her as a Zava. So before she goes to the Mikveh, she's a Zava. After she exits the Mikveh, she is Teora. So now the urine was Ne'akar, it already became, or was ready to exit, it just did not exit the body until she came out of the Mikveh. What's the story? Imtim salomar batar akiraz linan. If we say akira is the sole determinant over here, hani mile shechvat zera. That's my bet shechvat zera. Delo mati nokila. It's an involuntary action. And therefore, by definition, once it's ne'akar, it's going to have to exit the body. Aval meimei ragla, da mati nokila. When it comes to urination, where the person can exercise a certain amount of control over it as to when it exits the body, lo, maybe there ne'akar is not enough. Odim aloshna, ne'akar is enough in both cases, and this urine will be an avatuma. Again, it won't affect her in terms of her being a zava. It'll affect the fact that when it exits her body and she's in contact with it, she'll have an avatuma that's touching her, and she'll be tuma, tamei tuma erev. And anything it comes into contact with as well will be tamei tuma erev. But there's at least a certain amount of control you can exercise over versus the same emission, which is an involuntary action where you really don't have very much control. We see that from the Mishnah, where you have to hold on in order to prevent it from exiting. There's no way to withhold it. I think you can see the difference. I understand. I agree with you. In the very short term and the very long term, they're common. But in the medium term, you can see there is a difference between them. Whereas brings one more question. By Rava, Uvdedet Chochavim Zava Shenekru Meme Ragla. You have a non-Jew who is a Zava. Shinekru Meme Ragla. Again, a similar story to what we had before by the Zava, but before the Zava was a Jew. So when she was a Jew, and she was Nekra, we had a question. Now we say she's Novedet Kuchavim, and it's Nekra Meme Ragla. V'yarda V'tavla. Over here, she's Yoredet and Tovelet for Gerut. She's becoming a Jew. So she's going down to Vila for Gerut, not to be Mitair herself from the Zava. Im Tim Zalomar Batara Kriya Zvinan. If we answer the previous question and say that we go after Akira, because even though they could hold it in, Hani Mila Yisraelit, the Tmei'a De'oraita. Maybe that's only true when we're dealing with a Jew. That was what we were speaking about before, Yehudit, who was a Zava. And over there we'll say that Akira is sufficient. That's because her Tumat Zava is a Din Min HaTorah. Avot Ovedet Kochavim, that we said in the Mishnah, is classified as a Zava. That's all a Din Derabonon. That's a Zavah, the Tmei'a Derabonon. No, maybe in the Din Derabonon we do not say that. Udilma Lo Shna, or maybe it makes no difference. Teku. Gemara leaves this as a Teku. What's interesting, Tosfot asks, is why does the Gemara not pose, or Rava did not pose a question with the Zav? You could have the same two scenarios with the Zav. You can have a Zav who has to urinate, and he withholds the urine, goes down to the mikveh, comes out, and then urinates afterwards. And you can have a Zav Obed Kochavim, that's the same thing. Zav and Zavar are equal in terms of Mayan. They're the liquid that exits their bodies, classified as an Avatuma. So then, why is it that the Gemara only used examples of Zavah and not Zav? So this question was asked by the Rivat Rashi. Sha'al Arivami Rashi. Amai lo boy mizachar Zav Obed Kochavim. Went up to that side of the questions. Sveheshi Denirlo says, very interesting, that he thinks that there's actually a pathological difference between men and women and their urination. The urine of a woman gathers together into a single location right before it exits, then it's expelled by the woman. So that qualifies as a mayan, because we said before a mayan is the mitagel, and then yotze. As opposed to which isn't true by a man. Obviously, I think that we would say that it works the same way. It all gathers in the bladder, and then is expelled afterwards from the bladder through the urinary tract. So I'm not sure that there really is such a difference. It actually claims there is a difference between the urination of a man and a woman, and because of that, the Gemara only posited the question from the woman's side, because of this possibility of ne'akeret. By the woman, it's mitagel and then ne'akeret, versus that with the man, we do not have that similar situation.
What is the status of ne'akar?
Ne'akar. Whatever the definition of ne'akar is, with either is the sensation of having a full bladder, what the Gemara thinks is in the urinary tract, but it's not exiting.
Why is there a question? If you don't even come tell me when it exits the body, so what is...
Because by Shechvat Zera, we saw that Shmuel's statement by ne'akar, that it was enough by ne'akar, because it will eventually exit the body, that being ne'akar was sufficient to put a person into a status of tumah. And that's what the Gemara is querying now. Shmuel's din, fundamental din, in ne'akar, or is only a chumrah by Sheikh Wadzera, because it has to come out. It's an involuntary action for it to exit. So therefore, it's just a chumrah that he puts, but it's not a fundamental din. That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to clarify. In this din of Shmuel by Sheikh Wadzera, how applicable is it to other cases? How do we apply it by Shechvat Zera, by Azav, by Meimei Raglayim, and by a Jew versus a non-Jew? How do we apply it? Exactly what you're asking is, what's the application outside of what Shmuel's din is? Or maybe it's just a din in Shechvat Zera, or Chumrah in Shechvat Zera, and that's a possibility also, which the Gemara entertained. All right, Amar Shmuel, Zav tzarich kichamitimat pi ha'ama. Now Shmuel says that a Zav requires a Shi'ur, what obviously is against our Mishnah. Mishnah says there is no shiur for ziva and for shechvat zera. Over here, Shmuel says that a zav does have a requirement of chatimat pi'ama, enough to close up the opening of the eiver. Shenamar, o echtim bisaro mizovo. So echtim over here we're reading as being to seal up and to cover. So therefore, it's echtim bisaro mizovo. The zav closed up that area. Vanantran. Of his questions from our Mishnah, mitamim bekoshin. Our Mishnah says that there is no requirement, there is no minimum shiur. Zehud amar Rabbi Natan, he holds like Rabbi Natan. Damar Rabbi Natan, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Zav tzarich kichamit timat pi'amas. Now he has a Tano that supports that position. Velo hodu lo, but the Chamim did not agree to him. My time at the Rabbi Shmuel. What is the din of Rabbi Shmuel? Why does he believe that you have that shiur? Damar Kra. Oh, echtim bisero, oh, mizovo. It's exactly what we just quoted before, the pasuk, that it seems to be that you have to have a sealed up of the basar from zov. Rabbanon, now we rightly, Rabbanon, what do they do with the pasuk of, oh, echtim bisero, mizovo? They're obviously not learning it for the shiur. So that lach mitamei, veno mitamei yavish. They learn that to teach you that zav is only mitamei when it is moist, when it's a liquid, not once it's dried out. Because now they're reading as hechtim, meaning something that is moist. Because if it was dried out, as Rashi points out, then it would fall away. If it crusted over and became hard, it would fall away and would not block the entrance to the ama, and only if it was moist would it fill in or block the entrance to the ama. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmo, how may rear? He learns that out from the continuation of the pasuk by the Zav. Zotia tumato bizovo, rar bisaro et zovo, o echtim bisaro mizovo tumato hi. So you have two times in that pasuk, we have a definition of what the zovo is. It's rar bisaro et zovo, or echtim bisaro mizovo. The Chachamim use echtim bisaro mizovo to tell you it has to be moist. Rabbi Shmuel says that the rar bisaro et zovo is moist. How does he know that? He learns that from the word rear. Rear is to drool. And he quotes a pasuk by David HaMelech when he goes by Melech Gat and he acts like he's crazy. So there it says, use the term rar, or rear. So riro is to drool, something that is liquidy. So because of that, he says rar b'saro already, I learned it out from there. So obviously Gemara says, okay, then what do the Chachamim do with that pasuk? Rabbonon ha'odu minyonu da'ato. They use that to come up with the count. So the count here is, we know that a zav has three stages. The Zav Bal Riyachat was equivalent of Shechvat Zera. You have a Zav Bal Shtei Riyot who requires Shivinikiyim but no Korban. And you have a Zav Bal Shlosh Riyot. That's three emissions who has a requirement for Shivinikiyim plus a Korban. How do you learn that out of Tzukim? So the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shmuel are going to disagree about how to learn this. The Rabbanan believe that the count works like this. Zovo, the word Zovo in the Pazotia Tumato Bizovo. So Zovo is one. Then you have Rar, Bisaro, is Trey. Et Zovo, Tlat. So you have here, Yizoti et Tumato, Bizovo, one. Rar, Bisaro, two. Et Zovo, three. So that's a Bzab, Bao, Shlosh, Riot, Tlat. We made a Bzab, Bao, Shlosh, Riot, Shechaya, Barakana, number one. Number two, O. O says Or. What's the other option? Hechtim bisaro mizovo. So then it says he's hechtim bisaro mizovo tame. Mizovo means some part of the mizav, not the full zav. Mix that zovo tame. Then only a portion of the zav is itame. We made a zav bel shtei riot shimetame mishkavo mosyav. So that's two riot because you have o hechtim bisaro mizovo, which sounds like it's two things, but it's mizovo. He only has a partial type of zav here. That partial type of zav is that he has the dinei tumah. He does not have the din of korbanot. So they need both rar b'saro and echtim b'saro mizovo to teach you about ba'al shtei riyot and ba'al shlosh riyot. So they can't use rar b'saro for it to be moist. They have to use echtim b'saro for that. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel is using rar b'saro for the moistin, echtim b'saro to teach you there is a shear. But what Rabbi Shmuel does not have now is how does he get to ba'al shtei riyot and ba'al shlosh riyot? Obviously the Gemara is going to ask next, which is Rabbi Shmuel minono manale. Where does Rabbi Shmuel know the count of two and three by Azav? Nafkilei mi de Rabbi Simai. He knows Azav from Rabbi Simai, which is quoted more extensively. Rashi and Chumash brings it. The Tanya Rabbi Simai Omer mana katuv shtayim bikarotamei, shalosh bikarotamei. The pasuk counts the word zav twice and says he's tamei, and then counts again three times and says he's tamei. Ha ketzad? How is that possible? Shtayim the tumah, shalosh the korban. To teach you that there's a distinction between two riyot and three riyot. So that's what we have here in the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk bet it says dabru b'nei yisrael marta lehem ish ish ki yezav mibsaro zovo. Tamehu. So that's Zav, Zovo, Tamehu. So twice it says Zav and then it calls him Tameh. That's a Baal Shtei Riyot. Then we have Zotia Tumato Bizovo, Rar Bisaro et Zovo, two, Erechtim Bisaro Mizovo, three, Tumato Hi. Then he's Tameh. So he only counts the word Zav or Zov, and therefore in the first pasuk it says Zov twice, then Tameh. In the second pasuk, it says Zov three times, and it calls him Tamei. So that's how he gets the count of Riyot over here. O the man dinofke le tarvayu mizotie tumato bizovo. One who learns it out from the pasuk of zotie tumato bizovo. So ish ish ki ezab mibsaro ma'avidle. Then what does he do with that pasuk of ish ish ki ezab mibsaro? We byle ad she etse mibsaro. Go to mei lamali. So according to the Chachamim, who learned the entire count out of Zotia Tumato from the Pasuk Gimel, from there they learn out two and three. What do they do with the first Pasuk? Pasuk Bet, which says, Ish Ish Kiyazab Mibsaro Zovotamehu. What do they do with that? So the Gemara says, well, they have a limud from each piece of it. They learn, Mibsaro teaches you that it's only mitameh when it exits the body. That's how we know, we saw that at the beginning of today's daf, that we know that a zav is only tameh when it exits the body from Mibsaro. It has to exit his basar. Number two is, what do they do with zovo tameh? They got to teach you that it's, the zov itself is tameh. In order to be tameh, because of a ri'iyah, it's only a mashu. So this is the first we're seeing of this, and the Gemara is going to spend time on this concept now, which is that maybe there's a distinction between ri'at shechvat zera and negi'at shechvat zera. We've seen the Gemara draw this distinction already, that for ri'iyah, there is no shiur. A sighting means any amount. On the other hand, when we're talking about negi'ah, coming to contact with an item, there might be a defined shiur. It might be a minimum amount in order to become in contact and become tamei. And then exactly what Rabbi Chaninai does is distinguishes within the halacha itself that a shechvat zera for ri'iyah, for the one who is emitting the shechvat zera for ri'iyah, they'll become tamei bekoshu. On the other hand, to come in contact with shechvat zera, become tamei from shechvat zera, that will have a minimum shiur of ki'adasho, which is the size of a lentil. Anan mitamim mikol shein. Tanan, didn't our Mishnah say that mitamim mikol shein makes no distinction? My love, little gal, that's coming into contact. Lo, leroe. It's a case of sighting. Tashma, chomer b'shechvat zera b'sheretz, b'chomer b'sheretz b'shechvat zera. Shechvat zera has some chumrot, sheretz has some chumrot. Chomer b'sheretz, a sheretz, sheretz ein chaluka tumato. Because its tuma does not break down, ma she'en kein b'shechvat zera, which it does. Chomer b'shechvat zera, shechvat zera mitamei b'koshu. It's mitamei in a koshu, ma she'en kein b'sheretz. So we have a chumra on each side here. Chumra by the sheretz. A sheretz katan and a sheretz gadol have the exact same din. There is no distinction between the size of the sheretz. No matter what the sheretz is, it's mitameh. Which is not true by shechvat zera. There's a difference between the age of the individual. We learned that early in the Masechta. Only someone who's over 9 years in one day is their shechvat zera mitameh. But if they're less than that age, their shechvat zera is not mitameh. So we distinguish between an older or a bigger individual and to a smaller or younger individual. So that distinguishes the chumrah by sheretz. The chumrah by shechvat zera is mitameh bekosho. Sheretz is only mitameh be ke'adasho. So there you see, what are they calling shechvat zera is only mitameh? Bekosho. So what are you going to answer here? So my lav the nogeya. So we're going to say it's talking about nogeya. Lo le roeh. So it's talking about a sighting. But then the Gemara says that's not equivalent. Sighting works by shechvat zera. It does not work by sheretz. Talking about sheretz, you're obviously talking about tumat negiya. So if you're comparing the two, it must be done comparing tumat negiya to tumat negiya in the brayta. Ah, do me the sheretz katani. My sheretz negiya. Shechvat zera negiya. I'm Rav Adar Baba. No, exactly like what Shul wants to answer. Shum sheretz katani. Shum shechvat zera katani. Exactly what you answered, which is within the world of shechvat zera, there is a koshu. Within the world of sheretz, there's only a ke'adasho. So even though we're not comparing apples and apples here of negiya and negiya, nevertheless, it is a chumrah because you'll never get to a koshu by a sheretz. A sheretz lo mitamei b'asho? Well, if you're going that direction, is that really true that a sheretz is not mitamei b'koshu? Ba'anan tanan, ha'ivarim ein lahem shiur. When it comes to a whole aver, then there is no shiur. And it's true of a sheretz as well. If you have a whole sheretz, there is no shiur. Pachod mikzayit basara meit. Upachot mikzayit besar nevela. Upachot mikadashim min hasheretz. So it's like, there's a colon here. Case of Averim, when you have a full entity or a full Aver, there is no shiur. That applies to all of these different types of tumah. Besar ha-meit, which the minimum shiur is a kezayit. Even if it has less than a kezayit, it's still mitameh. Nevela, who also has a minimum shiur of a kezayit, it's less than a kezayit, it's still mitameh. And the sheretz, which the minimum shiur is a kadasha, even if it's less than a kadasha, as long as it's a full aver, it is mitameh. And that can be a kosho. The answer to the Gemara is obvious. Shiny aver, the kulei b'makom adashukai. An aver is in place of the ke'adasha. Why do we have shiurim of kezayit or kadasha? What is a shiur? A shiur tells us what's called chashuv. It's what's chashuv and gives it chashivut. So by a shiur, it's a chashivut is a ke'adasha. By basara made by nevela, chashivut is determined by a kezayit. You can replace that chashivut by using a whole aver. A whole aver also has chashivut. So therefore, it's not governed by the minimum shiur. So the answer is that it's here, the aver is the determining factor, not the mashu. The shiur becomes irrelevant because you create the chashivut through the aver itself. Da, and I can prove that to you, ilu chaser purta aver mikimitamyo. As soon as the Aver is missing the smallest amount, then it's not Metame anymore. So it's clear, it's not a measurement in Shiur, it's a measurement in Aver. And so you've left the world of Shiurim and moved into the world of Aver, and so you can't compare the two. That's not a Mashul, it's an Aver. And an Aver has Chashivut, because it's an Aver, it's not dealing with the worlds of Shiurim, because as soon as you remove a piece of the Aver, you're back in the world of Shiurim, it's not Metame. Gemara says, Shechva Zera de Chalukra Tumato Mai. So what we said before, what does it mean that Shechva Zera is Chalukra Tumato? Ilema Ben Yisrael de Denachuim, if it's a distinction between Jews and non-Jews, Hachanami Ika Achbar Diyam Achbar Diyam Eshay, the same distinction within Shratzim that we saw back in Chulin, that it has to be Ala Aretz. Only then it's on the land, so therefore the sea mouse is not mitamei like the land mouse. The land mouse is a din of sheretz. The sea mouse does not have a din of sheretz. Ela ben katan gadol. It's a distinction between a big and small, which is by sheretz, is in, we're indifferent. Whereas by humans, big and small, referring to age, meaning younger and older, those that are below the age of 9 and 1 day are not mitamei. Whereas those that are 90 years and 1 day and above are mitamei b'shechvat zera. So that's a chumra by sheretz. Amra Popa Kitanai. It actually is a machloka tanaim about this distinction between ro'eh and nogeya. Minayin rabot nogeya b'shichvat zera. How do I know that someone who comes in contact with shichvat zera is tamei? Tamalomar o'ish. O'ish is written in the parsha of Emor by Tumat Nigiata Sheretz. So there the girl says, o'ish, that extraneous lashon o'ish comes to teach us that something that is emitted from the individual is also mitamei b'nigia. Now you can't learn it out internally from shechvat zera. Ma beged asher yalav shechvat zera, that you can't learn out. So there it is. You have shechvat zera in contact with the beged, and it's tamei because bigadim have a chumra over adam. Bigadim become tamei even though they don't come into contact with the tumah by nevela. The adam who touches such an item, they are in contact with it. They become tamei, but they're also the bigadim become tamei. Bigadim have a chumra. So just because contact with shechvat zera makes the beged tamei does not mean that contact with a human will also make it tamei. So because of that, we can't learn out internally from shechvat zera. So we go out to sheretz and we learn it. But then what? Upligi tanai be'alma. We know, Rav Papa says, that in general, there is such a machloket tanaim, the ikad amri domino mina. When you learn something out from another location, you learn everything out from that location. The ikad amri domino muki b'atra. You only learn out the basic fundamental din from the other area, but then you bring it back to the location in which you are learning. So Lamanda Amar Domino Mino, the one who says that you learn out everything from the source, then Mash Sheretz Binigia, Achshibet Zera Binigia. We're learning out that there's a din of Tumat Nigia by Sheretz, and from O'ish, we're also saying that there's a din such as a din by Shechvat Zera Binigia. Umina, and then we also learn out the entirety of the din from there. Mash Sheretz Bigadasho, Achshibet Zera Bigadasho. So the Tumat Nigia by Sheretz we know as a minimum of a Kadasho. So too by Shechvat Zera also have the same minimum of Kadasho Valento. That we only learn out the fundamental din. We don't learn out all of the trappings from the source. Then, my sheretz b'nigiyah, shechvat zera b'nigiyah, just like the sheretz is b'nigiyah, that's the fundamental din. So do shechvat zera is b'nigiyah. Vulke ba'atra, bring it back into the world of shechvat zera. Then my shechvat zera, the dinim of shechvat zera revolve around a mashu. Since re'iyah is by a mashu, af l'nogeya b'mashu, so too, nigiyah will be by a mashu. So that's how Rav Papa explains that we'll have a machluket tanaim revolving around the source for Nigia by Shechvat Zera, which derives from Sheretz. How much do we learn out from Sheretz? Do we just learn out the fundamental din of Nigia, or do we also learn out all the trappings, meaning we learn out the Shiur? Or do we bring it back and learn it out from Shechvat Zera that it's a Mashul? Amalei Ravuna, Brei de Rav Natan, Rav Papa, Mimai de Moish de Sheretz, Kamirabile. How do you know that we learn out Nigia by Shechvat Zera from Shumat Sheretz? You know what they knew? They knew that it came out of O'ish. Rav Papa assumes O'ish is written by a Tumat Sheretz, so that must be where they're learning it out from. So Rahuna Breda Rav Natan says to Rav Papa, wait, maybe there's another O'ish. Dilma mi O'ish asher teitzei michmenu shechvat zera. Maybe they're learning it out from that limud. From the O'ish asher teitzei michmenu shechvat zera. And that's the source for the limud over here, Kimarabilei. And then there's no more question anymore. Shailino Litznai, they asked this or posed this question to those that knew the Braitot. Ika detani ki Rapopo, v'ika detani ki Ravuna Breder of Notan. In terms of which O'ish they were using, they were those that learned it out of O'ish by the Sheretz. And there's some that learned it out of the O'ish that is found by Shechvat Zera.
O'ish from Shechvat Zera, the Rav Shechvat Zera. What are we learning?
It's an extraneous, it's a extraneous lashon. Right, so the O'ish comes to tell you that contact with man will cause you a tumah. So Tosfot does ask that question and says, why would you favor one over the other? Isn't it obvious that you would take the O'ish by Shechvat Zera versus the O'ish by Sheretz? Seems obvious that you would have picked it. That's the context, that's what you're looking for. So Tosfot says that's because by Sheretz, it's talking about Negiyah. It's explicitly talking about Negiyah. The O'ish by Shechvat Zera in the context doesn't have anything to do with Negiyah. That's exactly your question. One favors learning out the Negiyah and therefore goes to Sheretz. One favors the context of Shechvat Zera and therefore uses the O'ish inside of Shechvat Zera. Okay, we'll stop over here.